源于聆听，亲爱的奉献者们，大家早上好。今天是2020年4月1日，星期三。我们再次荣幸地邀请到 Radha Charan Prabhu 为我们继续讲解《永恒的 Chaitanya Jain Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita》Hare Krishna。
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya。Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila Chapter 21 The Opulence and Sweetness of Lord Sri Krishna
我们今天继续来阅读永恒的 Chaitanya Jain Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 中篇逍遥的第21章主是 Krishna 的富裕和甜蜜
Broadcasting today from Sri Mayapur Dham
今天我们是在 Sri Mayapur Dham 向大家直播
And we continue reading from the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Srila Sanatana Goswami
我们继续来阅读主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 对 Sanatana Goswami 的教导
So in this chapter, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants us to focus on the sweetness of Krishna
在这一章当中，主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 希望我们把关注点放在 Krishna 的甜美上。
The sweetest of Krishna is one aspect of the absolute truth.
Krishna 的甜蜜是绝对真理的一个方面。
Krishna has many energies and unlimited qualities.
Krishna 有很多的能量和无穷无尽的品质。
And the conditioned souls, due to their illusion, are not aware of these qualities of Krishna.
受条件限制的灵魂，由于被幻象所惑，所以对于主 Krishna 的这些品质没有任何的理解。
So out of ignorance, the conditioned soul focus on other things which are temporary.
受条件限制的灵魂因为愚昧所以总是把自己的关注点放在其他物质的这些方面。
And because of focusing on things that are temporary, ultimately it does not, produce any happiness.
因为他们关注的都是一些非常短暂的事物所以没有办法让他们感到真正的快乐。
So the conditioned souls keep looking and try experimenting in the realm of happiness, but each time there is only frustration.
受条件限制的灵魂呢，他一直不断的是在这个所谓的快乐的这个区域当中去不断的寻找，不断的去探索，但是最后收获的只是沮丧。
So when we look at spirituality, which is beyond matter, then everything expands unlimitedly.
灵性是超越于物质的。如果我们从这个角度来看的话，那么就看到这个无限的这一面。
So before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will discuss the sweetness of Krishna, he wants to talk about the opulence of Krishna.
所以在谈到 Krishna 的甜美甜蜜之前主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 要谈的是主 Krishna 的富裕
And another name for Krishna is Bhagavan.
Krishna 的另外的一个名字是 Bhagavan.
Bhagavan means one who possesses all opulences in full.
就是完全的充满着富裕的人
Which is wealth.
第一个就是说是财富
beauty,
美丽
fame,
名声
knowledge,
知识
renunciation,
气绝
and
strength,
力
量
So Srila Prabhupada explains that these six qualities, these six opulences, are also found in the material world.
那是啊，爸爸，他说呢，在这个物质世界，你也可以看到这六种富裕。
But they are limited.
但是却是有限的。
And not everybody has them all at once.
而且没有一个人可以同时的全部拥有这六种富裕。
So to understand something which is spiritual, it's when there is no limit.
当你去理解灵性的时候，你就可以把它理解成是无限的。
And also, when we look at the word opulence,
然后我们再看一下富裕这个词语。
Opulence can remind us of wealth.
富裕可以让我们联想起财富。
Can remind us of something very precious.
或者是那些非常珍贵的事物。
Something you reach.
那个富有。
But again, in the material realm, opulence is very limited.
但是在物质的这个范畴之内，这样的这种富裕还是非常的有限的。
So in the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami, Lord Chaitanya wants to show us just a little glimpse of what is Krishna's opulence.
那么在 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 给 Sanatana Goswami 的教导之中，Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 让我们对主 Krishna 的这个富裕有了一瞥，就是他展示了些许给我们。
He gives the example of trying to look at the moon through the trees.
那么他就举了一个例子，这好像是透过树梢去看月亮。
If the moon is full and the moon is rising,
如果是一个正在升起的满月。
You may want to see the full moon, but you may not be able to see completely the full moon.
你可能想看到这个满月完整的样子，但是透过这个树梢，可能你就看不见这个整个的满月了。
But if you manage to see the full moon through the trees, you just get an idea of how full the moon is.
但是如果你透过这棵树去看这个满月，虽然你看到的不是完整的，但是你可以想象出来。
Now, when we try to understand scriptures,
那当我们试图去理解经典的时候，
we try to understand with our mind.
我们试图通过我们的头脑或者说心意去理解。
We try to create images, we try to measure things, we try to understand things with the mind.
我们创造一些形象，然后我们试图用有限的头脑去进行衡量。衡量它的大小。
But the mind is also very limited.
就是我们试图去头脑去理用头脑去理解，但是事实上呢，我们的头脑是非常的有限的。
Not only that, but the mind speculates.
而且不仅如此，我们心也还有一个特点，就是喜欢去推测。
Because the mind is affected by the modes of material nature.
因为我们的心意呢，总是在受到物质自然爱的这个影响。
Not only that, but we live in a world of relativity.
而且不仅如此，我们生活在一个相对性的世界里。
What you think is right, I may think it's wrong.
你认为的对，在我看来可能就是错。
So the mind cannot be trusted.
所以我们没有办法信赖我们的心意。
The only thing that can be trusted is what is absolute.
我们唯一能够真正信赖的就是绝对的事物。
What never changes.
也就是永恒不变的事物。
What cannot be controlled.
那些无法控制的事物。
And that's the absolute truth. That is Krishna consciousness.
那么这就是绝对真理，这就是 Krishna 知觉。
So if we try to imagine and to measure things with our mind, then we will get confused and we will be full of doubts.
那如果说呢，我们用我们的这个心意试图去想象，或者说试图去衡量的话，那我们最后呢，内心中就会充满着疑惑，而且就会非常的迷茫。
However, the conditioned soul, when the process of devotional service is applied, things begin to make sense.
但是如果受条件限制的灵魂能够去运用奉献服务的话， 那么一切呢就会越来越清晰。
With the process of devotional service, which is mainly hearing and chanting and remembering, when we approach the scriptures, they begin to make sense.
那如果说我们能够通过奉献服务的程序啊，那主要就是聆听、唱诵和意念，以这种方式去接近绝对真理的话，那么一切呢就变得非常的清晰、有道理了。
So in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, when we look at the scriptures, we accept them because we know it's part of the process of devotional service.
当我们刚刚开始修习 Krishna 知觉的时候，我们去接近经典。那么我们之所以去接受，是因为我们知道它阅读经典是奉献服务当中程序的一个重要的组成部分。
But do we actually believe it?
但是经典中的这些内容，我们真的是心悦诚服吗
？Do we actually understand it？
我们真的是能够理解吗
？That may not be the case。
可能并不如此。
For some, it may make sense. For others, it doesn't make sense at all。
对有一些人来说呢，是非常有道理的；但是对于另外一些人来说呢，可能就是不知所云。
But again, this is not the purpose of studying the scriptures。
那么就是这并不是学习经典的目的。
The purpose of studying the scriptures is to become purified.
研习经典的目的是为了自我净化。
Because by hearing scriptures from authorized sources, we can benefit.
因为如果是通过一个有权威的这个来源来进行经典的学习研习的话，那么我们就可以受益无穷。
So here we have in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, right now in this chapter, we have four major authorities.
那么在这个Chaitanya Charitamrita, 就像我们现在所说到的这一章当中呢，我们有四个最重要的权威。
One is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
第一个是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Another one is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami.
然后就是作者 Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami.
Another one is Sanatan Goswami.
然后还有一位就是 Sanatan Goswami.
And the other one is Srila Prabhupada.
然后还有一位是 Srila Prabhupada.
So when we have the association of these four great personalities, we know that what we learn is the absolute truth.
那当我们能够和这样四位非常伟大的权威人士在联谊在一起的时候，我们就知道我们从他们那里学到的是绝对真理。
So why is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu interested to show us some of the opulence of Krishna?
为什么 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他有兴趣向我们展示 Krishna 的富裕中的一部分呢？
Because in this chapter, he's going to speak both about the opulence and the sweetness, and sometimes these two don't really match.
因为呢，在这一章当中他要覆盖到两个方面，一个是 Krishna 的富裕，另外一个方面就是 Krishna 的甜蜜。但是有时候呢，这两者呢不一定是相匹配的。
Opulence is inspires awe and reverence.
富裕能够激起人的敬畏之情。
But sweetness inspires more the feelings of the heart.
而甜蜜和甜美呢，更多激起的是内心的情感。
So I want to speak about one specific word.
那我现在想着重的讲一下一个特别的词。
And this word is achintya.
这个词语呢，就是 achintya.
Achintya means inconceivable.
Achintya 的意思是不可思议。
Inconceivable is the opposite of conceivable.
不可思议呢是可思议的一个反义词。
So if I tell you that there are 30 million people living in Beijing.
比如说我跟你说北京呢有1300万人。
If I said there are 30 million people living in Beijing.
如果假如说我是说一个数字，比如说在北京有
300万人。You can say, yeah, that's conceivable.
你可以说呢，那这个数据呢，还是 能够理解的。
Now, if I tell you there are 200 million people living in Beijing,
但是我要跟你说在北京有两亿人居住在那里的话，
you will say that's inconceivable.
那你可能说，这真的是不可思议，这是无法测度了，超过你的想象。
This is an example to show what is the meaning of the word.
所以呢，这个只是一个例子来帮助你理解一下不可思议这个词语究竟是什么意思。
Now, another example which is given this time in the scriptures is the example of the banyan tree.
那么在这个经典里面呢，他用了另外一个例子，就是说，是这个榕树。
So the banyan tree we know is a very, very big tree.
我们知道呢，榕树是非常的巨大。
Some banyan trees have roots that can go underground for literally hundreds of kilometers.
那么有一些这个榕树的这个根在地下盘根错节，可以蔓延到方圆几百公里。
Not only that, but the branches of the banyan tree grow down and they turn into tree trunks themselves.
然后呢，还有就是说，这个榕树的这个树干上面呢，它也会垂下来，然后到了地上之后，它长了根以后又继续的生发出这个树干。
And spreads very, very wide.
然后呢，它也是扩展到非常巨大的一个范围。
So much so that you don't know anymore which one is the original tree.
然后你都分不出最早的那一棵树是从哪里生发出来的。
And yet, the banyan tree is contained within one small seed.
但是呢，整个的这样的一个独木成林的这个榕树呢，实际上是始于一粒榕树的种子。
So how is it possible that such a huge, massive tree can be contained into one tiny little seed?
那么这样的一棵不可思议的大树，怎么就会，就是保存在这么小的一个种子里面呢？
So, Srila Prabhupada gives the example as a challenge to the scientists.
那 Srila Prabhupada 呢，他就是用这个例子来挑战现代的科学家。
He said the scientists are trying to create life.
他说呢，就是 Srila Prabhupada 挑战科学家说，科学家们试图要创造生命。
The scientists are trying to control material nature.
科学家试图去控制物质能量。
But they cannot even create one single seed in their laboratories.
但是他们在实验室里面连一颗种子都制造不出来。
Whereas in one tiny seed, we have a gigantic tree.
但是呢，我们的可以看到一颗这么小的种子里面呢，却孕育着一株如此巨大无边的树。
That is inconceivable.
这就叫做不可思议。
So similarly, many of the material manifestation of Mother Nature are inconceivable.
所以说同样的，自然母亲所展示出来的许多的物质事物都是不可思议的。
And this is very nicely explained in many places in Bhagavad Gita.
在博伽梵歌的很多地方都谈到了这一点。
How this cosmic manifestation, this material manifestation is inconceivable.
就是说解释到了这个宇宙的创造以及这个物质自然的展示是怎么的不可思议。
And yet it is under the full control of Krishna.
但是无论如何的不可思议都在 Krishna 完全的主宰之下。
So if this material nature and this material cosmic manifestation is inconceivable,You can just imagine how the absolute truth is inconceivable.
所以说，如果说我们能理解到这个物质的自然和宇宙的展示是多么的不可思议，那么我们自然也就能够理解绝对真理是多么的不可思议了。
So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are chapters that describe, for example, the measurement of the cosmic manifestation, this universe.
在这个圣典博伽瓦坛里面呢。有一些篇章就描述到了这个宇宙，这个宇宙的这个展示是多大的一个尺寸。
There is an actual specific measurement of the universe.
就是对于这个宇宙呢，它是可以去衡量它的大小的。
And there is a measurement of the entire material manifestation.
然后整个的这个物质宇宙的展示呢，地也是有大小可言的。
But then how do we measure the spiritual sky?
那么灵性的天空又能如何去衡量呢？
That is inconceivable.
这是不可思议的。
So, similarly, Krishna's nature is also inconceivable.
同样的 ,Krishna 的本性也是不可思议的。
And this is the main fundamental principle of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy.
这是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 哲学的一个最重要的基础。
The principal philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is called Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva.
主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的这个最重要的哲学被称为 Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva.
Which means that this Krishna consciousness philosophy is inconceivably one and different.
就是我们的 Krishna 知觉的这门哲学是不可思议的即一即一。
So, for example, the conditioned souls are spiritual souls.
比如说受条件限制的灵魂呢，本质上是灵性的灵。
Spiritual soul means they are eternal.
那么灵性的个体，灵性的灵魂就意味着它是永恒的。
Full of bliss and
乐。
And Krishna is also eternal.
Krishna 它也是永恒的。
And he is also full of bliss and knowledge.
也是充满着喜乐和全知的。
But the spiritual souls are like a drop in the ocean, and Krishna is like the ocean.
而这个个体的灵魂呢，就好像是海洋中的一滴水，而 Krishna 就好比是整个浩瀚的海洋。
So similarly, the Vaikuntha planets, the planets of the spiritual sky, are unlimited.
所以呢，这个 Vaikuntha 星宿也就是说这个灵性天穹灵性天空中的这些无忧星宿它也是无穷无尽的。
And this is inconceivable that they are unlimited.
是无穷无尽这种无穷无尽不计其数呢也是不可思议的。
And also the spiritual sky has no geographical limit. There's no beginning, there's no end to it.
而且这个灵性的这个天空也是无始无终的，没有办法用一个地理的概念来衡量。
So this gives us just a glimpse of an idea of how unlimited Krishna himself is.
所以这呢就可以对我们可以帮助我们对 Krishna 的无穷无尽有这么些微的一瞥。
And this is how we have to learn to understand and accept Krishna's.Opulence.
那这样呢，有助于帮助我们去理解和接受 Krishna 的富裕。
It's just like a little boy whose father is extremely wealthy.
就好像是一个小男孩，他的父亲呢，是非常的富有的。
So much so that he has no idea how much money his father has.
他的父亲有着万贯家财，这个孩子呢，根本无法想。像父亲的富有
and he only enjoys the opulence of his father.
他只是在享受着父亲能够提供给他的这些财富。
So similarly, we have access to this transcendental knowledge.
同样的呢，我们可以触及到这个超然的知识。
And this transcendental knowledge has no limit.
而这些超然的知识呢，也是无穷无尽的。
So much so that even Krishna himself does not know how unlimited he is.
甚至连 Krishna 本人也不知道他的无限性。
And when we talk about the opulence of Krishna, we talk about, as I previously mentioned, the beauty, the strength, the fame, the renunciation, the knowledge,
and the strength. 那就像我们刚才所说到，当我们说到 Krishna 的这个富裕的时候呢，我们就是看到的是 Krishna 的美丽，他的知识，他的力量，他的名声，他的知识，他的气质。
So there is a short story that when Krishna was residing in Dwarka.
有一个短小的一个故事，讲的是 Krishna 在 Dwarka.
One morning, Krishna was looking into the mirror.
有一天呢 ，Krishna 清晨起床照镜子。
And he was actually surprised.
他自己都感到非常的吃惊。
He had never seen anything more beautiful than his own face.
他自己都没有想象过自己的面容居然有这么的美丽。
And he wondered where this beauty is coming from.
然后他就在想，这个美丽是从哪里来的呢
？So when Krishna is surprised at his own beauty, we can imagine how surprised we should be about his own beauty.
所以连 Krishna 自己都被自己的美丽所惊讶到，那么更不用说我们在 Krishna 的美丽面前该有多么的吃惊了。
Lord Chaitanya is going to give now a very nice example.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 现在要举一个非常好的例子。
And he's going to refer to one pastime that took place in Vrindavan.
他讲到的是 Vrindavan 的一个逍遥时光。
Where Krishna can manifest both at the same time his opulence and his sweetness.
那在这个逍遥时光当中呢，主 Krishna他同时地展示了自己的富裕和甜蜜。
So during the Vrindavan pastimes, many things happened.
在这个 Vrindavan 的逍遥时光当中发生了很多的事情。
And one of those is when Lord Brahma wanted to test Krishna's strength.
有一个故事就是说讲到的是主 Brahma, 他呢婆罗诃摩他想试探一下这个 Krishna 的力量到底有多大。
And while Krishna was in the forest taking care of the cows and the calves and playing with the coward boys,
那当 Krishna 在树林里面去照顾奶牛小牛犊和那些牧牛童一起玩耍嬉戏的时候，
Brahma took away the calves.
主 Brahma 呢就把这些小牛犊给偷走了。
While Krishna was having lunch with the coward boys.
当时 Krishna 正在和那些牧牛伙伴们一起享用午餐。
So Krishna told the coward boys, I will go and look for them.
那 Krishna 呢就对这些牧牛童说我去找这些小牛犊。
And he couldn't find them.
但是他到处找都找不到。
Then when he came back to the coward boys were gone also.
那等他回来的时候呢那些牧牛童们也无影无踪了。
So Brahma had stolen all the coward boys and the calves.
所以也就是说呢，这个主 Brahma 主婆罗诃摩呢，他把所有的小牛犊和小牧牛童们都给偷走了。
And he hid them in a cave.
而且把他们藏在一个山洞里边。
Now what is Krishna going to do?
那现在 Krishna 该怎么办？
He cannot go home without the calves and the coward boys.
他不能一个人孤零零地回去，没有那些小牧牛童和小牛犊们伴随着。
What will the Vrindavan people and the parents will say?
那Vrindavan的居民和他们的父母见到这个情景会说些什么呢？
So for 1 year, Krishna manifested and expanded himself in each calf and each coward boy.
所以呢接下来的这一年当中 Krishna 呢他就扩展出每一头小牛犊每一个小牧牛童。
Not only that, but Krishna expanded himself as the wooden sticks of the boys, their flutes, the lotus flower, their clothes, their ornaments, everything was expanded unlimitedly.
而且他还扩展出了牧牛童手中的棍子他们的笛子莲花衣服等等而且所有的一切都是扩展的无穷无尽。
Now, Brahma was thinking that he has so much power that he can put Krishna into illusion.
那 Brahma 呢他还以为自己是无所不能的可以把 Krishna 都困在幻象中。
But then what Krishna did is that he manifested each coward boy and each calf into four-handed Narayans from Vaikuntha.
但是 Krishna 呢却扩展出了每一个牧牛童每一个牧牛童每一个小牛犊他扩展出了四臂的 Narayana 的这个形象。
And when Brahma saw this, he realized that he made a big mistake.
然后他主 Brahma 呢他看到这些牧牛童都是四臂的 Narayana 形象的时候呢，那就感到了特别特别的 吃惊，他知道自己犯了一个天大的错误。
And when he realized he made a mistake, he began to offer apology and he began to offer prayers to Krishna.
然后他意识到了自己巨大的错误之后呢，他就深表歉意，他这个时候向 Krishna 道歉，向他祈祷。
And this is very nicely described in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto.
这是在这个圣典波迦瓦坛的第十篇当中有着很美妙的这个描述。
In the chapter called Brahma Vimohan Lila.
那么在波迦瓦坛的这一章当中呢，就叫 Brahma Vimohan Lila.
This is Brahma stealing the calves and the cowherd boys.
那这一章里面就是讲到了主 Brahma 是怎么偷走的小母牛童和小牛犊。
So Lord Brahma said, Krishnera vai bava muni sabajanon ze januka koi mane muni hai manon. Lord Brahma said, if someone says that he knows everything about Krishna's opulence, let him think that way. But as far as I'm concerned, with my body and mine, I consider it this way.
在这里这一段话就是主 Brahma 他就说了，如果有谁以为自己对 Krishna 的富裕无所不知的话，那就让他这么想好了。至于我只能用我的身体和心意来思考。
He says, My Lord, your opulence is like an unlimited ocean of nectar, and it is verbally and mentally impossible for me to realize even a drop of that ocean.
接下来他就说呢，主啊，你的富裕就像是无边无际的甘露之洋，无论从语言上还是从头脑上，我都无法觉悟哪怕这个甘露之洋中的一滴。
Then he says, there are people who say, I know everything about Krishna. Let them think that way.As far as I am concerned, I do not wish to speak very much about this matter. Oh my Lord, let me say this much. As far as your opulences are concerned, they are all beyond the reach of my mind, body, and words.
然后主 Brahma 他就说呢，有些人会说我对 Krishna 无所不知，那就让他们这样想吧。至于我呢，我不想关于这一点，我不想说什么。我主啊，那就让我这么说吧。至于你的富裕是完全的超越我的心意、躯体和语言之上的。
There is another very nice verse that Shukadeva Goswami also explains in the Srimad Bhagavatam as he is reciting the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan.
就在圣典波迦瓦坛中呢，舒克德瓦格斯瓦米他去描述 Krishna 在 Vrindavan 的这个逍遥时光，在这段描述当中他也讲到了一段话。
He says, Itam satam brahma shukanu buddhya dasyam gatanam paradevatena maya shritanam naradarakena shakam viraju krita punya punja.Neither those who are engaged in self-realization, appreciating Brahman effulgence of the Lord, nor those engaged in devotional service, while accepting the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Master, nor those who are under the clutches of Maya, thinking the Lord as an ordinary person, can understand that certain exalted personalities,After accumulating volumes of pious activities, are now playing with the Lord in friendship as cowherd boys.
那 Shukadeva Goswami 他就说呢，无论是那些在致力于自我觉悟，去欣赏主的梵光的人，还是接受至尊主为主人去从事奉献服务的人。还是那些在玛雅的魔掌中的人，以为主 Krishna 是普通凡人的人，这些人都无法理解至尊，他们都无法理解那些崇高的人物在 积累了无数生生世世的虔诚活动之后，是怎么就能够以牧牛童的身份和主一起嬉戏玩耍的？
So this means that there are many different kinds of transcendentalists.
也就是说呢，这个超然主义者呢是无穷无尽的。
And each one is trying to understand one aspect of Krishna's opulence.
这些超然主义者有很多，他们每一种人呢都试图从某一个方面去了解 Krishna.
But because that opulence is unlimited, they cannot get to the end of it.
因为主 Krishna 的这个富裕是无穷无尽的，所以他们无论如何都无法穷尽。
And some they come to the conclusion that I have tried everything. My conclusion is that Krishna is just an ordinary person.
因为有些人呢，就是这些超然主义者，他们付出了巨大的努力之后得出的这个结论，就是说，我已经尝试过了 ，Krishna 只不过是一个普通常人。
But what they don't understand is that the devotees who have accumulated limited pious credit are now playing with Krishna in Vrindavan.
那他们无法理解的是，那些积累了无穷无尽的虔诚活动的人，现在是怎么就能够在本达本和 Krishna 一起玩的
？So in other words, even though the opulence of Krishna is unlimited,
所以呢，这个换句话说就是说，虽然 Krishna 的富裕是无穷无尽的
，and even though we may not understand everything about Krishna,
那即便是我们没有办法。对 Krishna 有一个彻底的理解。
Just by engaging in the process of devotional service, bhakti yoga.
那呢，只要是一个人，他能够去从事奉爱瑜伽中的这个奉献服务。
Which, according to Rupa Goswami, is mainly in five main activities.
那根据 Rupa Goswami 的说法，这个奉献服务呢？主要是表现在五个方面
，which is to study Srimad Bhagavatam.
一个就是学习阅读圣典博伽瓦坛
，chanting Hare Krishna，
唱诵 Hare Krishna，
associating with the devotees，
和奉献者们去联谊
，worshipping the deities，
崇拜神像
，and residing in the holy dham，
然后最后是居住在圣地。
If weperform these five activities, we get a chance to be with Krishna in Vrindavan.
那如果说呢，我们能够去从事这五项奉献服务的话，我们就是和在 Vrindavan 和 Krishna 在一起。
And when we talk about being with Krishna in Vrindavan, is we move from the opulence of Krishna to the sweetness of Krishna.
那也就是说呢。当我们说到了在 Vrindavan 和 Krishna 在一起的时候，其实我们就是从 Krishna 的这个富裕过渡到了甜蜜。
So, even if we try to understand Vrindavan itself,
即便是我们试图去理解 Vrindavan 本身
，there is two Vrindavans.
那我们也要知道有两个 Vrindavan.
There is Vrindavan in the spiritual world, and there is Vrindavan in this material world.
一个就是说是在灵性世界的 Vrindavan， 一个是物质世界的 Vrindavan。
So the Vrindavan in the material world, it's not the whole planet.
在物质世界的这个 Vrindavan 并不是指的是整个的星球。
When you come out of the airport in Delhi and you begin to drive towards Vrindavan, at some point you will enter what is known as Braja Mandala.
那你就是从这个德里机场出来，然后驱车往这个 Vrindavan 的这个方向驶去，然后开上一段时间之后，你就会到达这个 Braja Mandala 这个区域。
You won't realize it because you're sitting in the car chanting your rounds or sleeping.
因为你是在这个车里面，可能在睡觉或者是在念诵，所以你可能意识不到你已经到了 Braja Mandala 的区域了。
But at some pointOn the road, we enter the realm of Vrindavan.
就是呢，你驱车了一段时间之后，在这个路上的时候，你已经进入到了这个 Vrindavan 的整个的大区域了。
And there is a geographical limitation of space of what Vrindavan is here in this world.
那么在这个世界上，这个 Vrindavan 的这个区域，它是有一个地理的一个概念，有一个非常清晰的一个边界。
But in the spiritual sky, Vrindavan is unlimited. There is no limit to the space.
但是在灵性世界的这个 Vrindavan 呢，却是没有边界的，是无边无际的。
But even the Vrindavan in this world has mystic potencies.
但是即便是这个物质世界的这个 Vrindavan 呢，它也是非常的神秘的，拥有着神秘的力量。
Which we may not be able to see today because of our material eyes.
那今天我们这双物质的眼睛可能已经是看不出来了。
And that can only be seen when we have reached pure devotional service.
只有当我们到达了纯粹的奉献服务的境界的时候，我们才能有这样的一双灵眼去看。
For example, to go from the town of Vrindavan to Barshana, where the home of Radharani is, it takes at least an hour and a half by bus.
就比如说呢，从 Vrindavan 的这个小镇到这个 Radharani 的家，Radharani 的家是那个 Varshana， 在这个路上要经过一个半小时的路程。
Or to go from Vrindavan to Govardhan, it takes at least an hour by bus.
然后呢，再从这个 Vrindavan 这个中心到这个 Govardhan 呢，也是至少要有。一个小时的车程。
So how is it possible that every day Krishna would take the calves and the cows and the carrot boys and they would go to all these places?
所以说你就很难想象这个 Krishna， 这个小 Krishna 怎么就能够每天带着那些小牧牛童和小牛犊去到所有这些地方。
And they have to walk through the forest.
而且他们还要冲过丛林。
And they leave.In the morning, and they come back in the afternoon. How can they go to all these places?
而且他们是早上出发，下午就回来的，怎么可能在这么短的时间里就去到了所有的这些地方？
So these inconceivable physical aspect of Vrindavan in this world.
所以呢，这个就是在 Vrindavan 的这个不可思议的地理范围。
But in the spiritual sky, the Vrindavan is limitless.And it contains all the other Vaikuntha planets.
那在这个灵性的天空中，文达文是无穷无尽的，而且它包含了所有的 Vaikuntha 无忧星宿。
So we should not try to understand the opulence of Krishna with our limited mind.
所以用我们有限的这个头脑，我们不要试图去理解 Krishna 的无穷富裕。
And as a matter of fact, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was explaining all these things to Sanatan Goswami, he himself became perplexed.
实际上呢，当 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 向 Sanatan Goswami 在描述这些富裕的时候，他自己呢也感到非常的不可思议，感到困惑无比。
In other words, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was describing the opulence of Krishna, and while he was doing so,He was so absorbed that he began to manifest all sorts of ecstatic symptoms.
换句话说呢，当这个 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 在向 Sanatan Goswami 去描述主 Krishna 的富裕的时候呢，他深深的沉醉于其中，展示出了各种各样狂喜的征兆。
When I describe these things to you, I don't have symptoms. I just repeat like a parrot.
其实当我在给你们描述这些富裕这些的时候，我并没有显示出什么狂喜的这个真相，我只不过就像鹦鹉学舌一样。
But for a pure devotee to be given an opportunity to speak about Krishna, whether it's Krishna's sweetness or Krishna's opulence, the pure devotee will be automatically transported on the spiritual platform.
但是呢，对于一个纯粹的奉献者来说，只要他有机会去讲述主 Krishna， 无论是他的富裕还是甜蜜，那么在他描述的这个过程当中，他就升转到了一个灵性的这个领域。
And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu concluded with a very famous verse from the Brahma Samhita: "Ishvara Paramakrishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha."Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karanakaranam. Krishna, known as Govinda, the supreme controller, He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. He is the origin of all and has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes.
在这里就是 Brahma Samhita 当中的一段诗节，说到的是 Krishna Govinda 是至高无上的主宰者，他是永恒，他拥有永恒喜乐灵性的躯体，他是一切的源头，他没有其他的源头，因为他本身就是万源之源。
So now we will speak about another aspect of Krishna's opulence.
那现在呢，我们接下来要讲的就是 Krishna 的富裕的另外一个方面。
And for this kind of opulence, Krishna has a very specific name.
那么 Krishna 有另外一个非常特别的名字来描述到这个富裕。
Krishna has unlimited names.
Krishna 他有无穷无尽的名字。
Every aspect of Krishna's activities and opulence gives a specific name.
那 Krishna 的这个不同的这些活动，还有他的特定的这些富裕呢，都对应着一个特定的名字来形容。
So one name of Krishna is Triadish.
那 Krishna 有一个名字呢，叫 Triadish.
Tria means three.
Tria 的意思就是三。
And Isha means control.
Isha 的意思是控制。
So Triadish means the Lord of the Three.
那么就是Triadish 的意思呢，就是三个的主。
You understand? The Lord of the Three means there are many three in Vedic scriptures. Many three, many groups of three.
就是就是说在在这个伟达经里面呢，它就是讲述到了好多的三个以三个为一主来进行这个描述的。
So、
所以这个意思就是说主是三位一体的，可以用这个词语三位一体，就是。
For example, there are the three modes of material nature.
就是比如说呢，这个物质的这个三形态，它也是三个。
There are three.Planetary systems, higher, intermediate, and lower.
然后呢，就是讲到了这个宇宙形体的时候，也是说到有这个上中下三界，就是三个星系。
But here specifically, we see that Krishna expands as Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva.
就好像呢，在这里呢，也讲到了就是 Krishna。他就是为了创造这个物质宇宙的话，他就是以主 Brahma、主 Shiva 还有主 Vishnu 的形象展示。
So, as Vishnu he creates, as Brahma he creates, as Vishnu he maintains, as Shiva he destroys.
所以呢，主 Brahma 呢，他是来创造的，主 Vishnu 维系，主 Shiva 是毁灭。
Then he manifests himself as the three.Avatars.
然后他又展示出了三个化身 avatars.
Karanakashai Vishnu, Gabodakashai Vishnu, Shirodakashai Vishnu.
就是 Karanakashai Vishnu, 原因这样 Vishnu, Gabodakashai Vishnu, 云淡这样 Vishnu, 和 Shirodakashai Vishnu, 牛奶这样 Vishnu.
So Karanakashai Vishnu.Means he creates all the universes.
那 Karanakashai Vishnu 这个原因这样 Vishnu 呢，指的就是说他创造了所有的宇宙。
Gabodakashai Vishnu means he enters within each universe.
那 Gabodakashai Vishnu 云南之阳 Vishnu 呢，就是说他又进入到每一个宇宙之中。
And Shirodakashai Vishnu means that he enters into everyone's heart.
那 Shirodakashai Vishnu 牛奶之阳 Vishnu 呢，就是说。它进入到每一个生物体的心中。
So everything goes by three.
所以呢，这都是三个一组的。
But specifically, there is the three of the three holy dhams.
然后呢，还有这个三个圣地。
For example, we have Vrindavan, Dwarka, and Puri. Vrindavan, Dwarka, and Mayapur. Vrindavan, Dwarka, and Mayapur.
就是比如说我们有三大这个圣地啊 ，Vrindavan, Dwarka 和这个 Mayapur.
But Mayapur and Vrindavan are the same.
但是呢 ，Mayapur 呢，其实就是无异于是 Vrindavan， 就是他们两者是一体的，其实是一样。
And Dwarka and Puri also the same.
Dwarka 和这个 Puri 其实也是一样的。
So the three dham that we are talking about here is Dwarka, Mathura and Vrindavan.
所以我们在这里说到的这个圣地呢，其实就是从名称上来讲是 Dwarka, Mathura 和 Vrindavan。
So these three holy places are manifested in this material world and manifested in the spiritual world.
所以这三个圣地呢，不仅仅是在这个物质世界有所展示，在灵性世界也是有展示的。
So Krishna has three places where he will manifest his transcendental pastimes.
那 Krishna 呢就有这样的三个地方去展示他的。
And in each place, the mood will be different, the relationship will be different, the pastimes will be different.
在每一个地方呢，就是这个氛围，然后这个逍遥时光都是不一样的。The mood, the pastime, and the activity, 还有活动都是不一样的。
I apologize if today's lecture is a little bit technical.
就今天的这个讲课涉及到很多的细节，就是这些细节听上去比较的技术性、专业性，那么我为此深表歉意。
But I am only summarizing what Lord Chaitanya is telling in detail.
但是其实呢，我是在把这个主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 所讲的这些细节进行了一个概述。
So you are lucky I don't go into the details. I only generalize.
所以呢，其实呢，我只不过就是讲了一个大概，并没有真正的像 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 那里那样，就是讲到了很细微的这些部分。所以你们还是幸运的。
What we are trying to do here is to get some understanding of Krishna's opulence and Krishna's sweetness.
就是说我们呢通过这样的聆听可以对于主 Krishna 的富裕和甜美有一定的概念。
So in terms of opulence, we know that in the spiritual sky there are unlimited Vaikuntha planets.
那说到了这个 Krishna 的富裕呢，我们就是知道在这个灵性世界有无穷无尽的 Vaikuntha 无忧星宿。
And those Vaikuntha planets, in each one of them, Krishna is represented as a great personality.
那在这个每一个的这个 Vaikuntha 的这个星宿无忧星宿上面，这个Krishna 呢，他都是以一个非常伟大的威严的形象出现的。
Where his pure devotees worship him and serve him with great awe and reverence.
那他的这些奉献者们呢，就怀着一种敬畏之心在服务着他。
We are not talking of the God of the Bible here.
我们在这里说的不是圣经里的上帝。
Where people think that God is a very, because he's been around for so long, he's a very old man with a white beard and he looks very, very tired.
很多人看圣经的时候觉得这个，因为上帝是非常非常的长寿的，所以印象当中的就是一个疲惫不堪的一个老人，长须白发。
And all he does is punish people for doing bad things.
然后呢，他主要做的一件事情就是去惩罚那些罪恶的人。
Well, if this is the idea of God, I have no interest in such a God.
那如果上帝是真是这样的一个面目的话，那我对这个上帝还真是没什么兴趣。
In the scriptures, Krishna is referred to as Videshu Durlabam Adurlabam Atma Bhakto Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Vajami. Krishna is ever eternally youthful.
在经典里面描述说 Krishna 永远是一个青春年少风华正茂的少年。
He never gets old. He is always young.
他不会变老，他永远是年轻的。
Always beautiful, always fresh, always strong.
他永远充满着活力，永远的俊美无比，然后他永远的充满着力量。
That's more attractive.
那么这个神的这个形象呢，就
But in the Vaikuntha planets, the pure devotees, they see Krishna as the Supreme Lord, and they worship Him with great opulence.
那么在这个瓦昆塔无忧心上，人们尊这个 Krishna 为至尊主，然后他们崇拜他的这个方式呢，也要动用很多很多的富裕。When
we move into the other realms of Krishna's residence, such as Dwarka, where Krishna is a king.
那我们讲到了 Krishna， 现在我们过渡到 Krishna 的另外一个居住的地方，那么就是 Dwarka， 在那里呢 ，Krishna 是国王。
And he is surrounded by many queens.
他身边呢有好多的王后。
Then he has a much closer relationship with people.
他在那里，他们主 Krishna， 他和 他身边的人之间的这个关系呢，就更加的亲近了一分。There
is still a lot of awe and reverence. There's a lot of respect, but there is more friendship.
那周围的这些人呢，对 Krishna 还是充满着这个尊敬、敬重啊、敬畏啊这些心理。但是呢，这个时候因为关系近了一步的话，他更有一种友谊、亲切的那种感觉。And
Krishna also has great opulence in Dwarka.
还有在这个Dwarka呢, Krishna 也展现出了巨大的富裕。Now,
this opulence of Dwarka may bewilder those who are not completely Krishna conscious.
那么对于那些还不具备全然的Krishna知觉的人而言, Dwarka的这个富裕可能会让他们感到困惑。
Whether it is the Dwarka in the spiritual sky or the Dwarka in the material world.
那不仅是在这个灵性天空的这个Dwarka，还是物质世界Dwarka，可能都会让他们困惑不已。So
there is a story to illustrate this.
有一个故事呢，可以解释这一点。And
this is the story of Lord Brahma visiting Krishna in Dwarka.
就是讲到的是主Brahma呢，到Dwarka呢，去拜见Krishna。
So when Brahma entered Dwarka, he wanted to go and see Krishna.
当这个主Brahma到了Dwarka的时候呢，他就想径直的去见 Krishna.
So the doorman wanted to know which Brahma he is.
那这个看门人呢，他首先想要知道的就是前来拜见 Krishna 的这个主Brahma究竟是哪一位 Brahma。
So Brahma was very surprised at this question.
那这个门卫他问出这样的一个问题呢，让这个 Brahma 大吃一惊。
So he said, "Tell Krishna that it is me, Brahma, who comes to see him."
然后他就说，你就转告这个 Krishna， 告诉他是我 Brahma 亲自来拜见他。
So Krishna wanted to know which Brahma are you talking about.
那 Krishna 呢，他就想问，你说的到底是哪一个 Brahma？
So Brahma told the doorman, "What do you mean which Brahma I am? I am the Brahma, the father of the four Kumaras."
那这个 Brahma 呢，他就对这看门人说，你问这个问题，哪个 Brahma 是什么意思呀？我不就是那个四 Kumar 兄弟的父亲 Brahma 吗？
Krishna says, "Okay, let him come in anyway."
那 Krishna 呢，就说那好吧，就让他进来吧。
So when Brahma entered, he offered his respect to Krishna.
那么这个主 Brahma 呢，来到了这个 Krishna 的这个面前呢，就向他表示礼敬。
And Lord Krishna asked him, "Why are you coming to see me?"
那主 Krishna 就问他说，你为什么来见我呢？
The Lord Brahma said, "I will tell you later, but first I would like to ask you something."
那主 Brahma 说呢，我一会儿呢，再把我前来的原因告知于你。 现在呢，我想先问你另外一个问题。Why
did you ask which Brahma I am?
你为什么要问这样的一个问题？我是哪一个 Brahma？ 这是什么意思呢？Is
there any other Brahma beside me in this universe?
难道在这个宇宙中除了我之外还有别的 Brahma 吗？
So when Krishna heard that question, he began to smile.
Krishna 呢，他听到了主 Brahma 提出的这个问题之后呢。 就露出了笑容。
And then he closed his eyes and went into deep meditation.
然后他就闭上了双眼，进入到了深度的冥想之中。
And in his meditation, he called upon all the Brahmas of all the universes in the cosmic manifestation.
然后呢，在这个冥想当中呢，他就把这些无数的宇宙当中、无数的创造之中的这些 Brahma。
So the Brahma of our universe, the one we're talking about now, has four heads.
然后我们所讲到的就是我们所处的这个宇宙中的这个 Brahma 是有四个头。
But other Brahmas came, they had 10 heads.
然后呢，其他前来的这些 Brahma, 就是说其他的宇宙里面的呢。The Brahma 呢有十个头的
，because they have a bigger universe.
因为他们的这个宇宙呢要比我们这个要大。
Some had 100,000, 10,000, millions of heads.
还有这个100,000 Brahma 啊，这个百头 Brahma 千头的、万头的、十万头的。
Not only that, but many Shivas came from each universe.
而且不仅如此，除了他们之外。还有很多的这个主希瓦都从不同的宇宙纷纷来到跟前。
In other words, the universe that we are in right now,
那换句话说
is one of the smallest universes.
那换句话说就是说我们现在所身处的这个宇宙呢其实是可以说是几乎是最小的一个宇宙了。
There are unlimited universes in the cosmic manifestation, and each universe is of a different dimension.
因为在这个宇宙的这个创造之中有无穷无尽的这个宇宙每一个宇宙都的这个维度空间都是不一样。
So when the four-headed Brahma saw all the other Brahmas, he felt like a rabbit amongst many elephants.
然后呢这个主 Brahma 他看到了其他这么多的大 Brahma 之后呢他真正的是感觉到自己自愧不如，觉得自己非常的渺小，就好像是一大群大象当中的一只小老鼠。
So all the Brahmas came in front of Krishna and they paid homage to him, they offered respect, they bowed down in front of him.
然后所有的这些 Brahma 都来到了主 Krishna 的这个面前，向主 Krishna 致敬，向他顶拜。
So this is one of the opulences of Krishna, that he can manifest anything he wants at any time.
那这就是 Krishna 的一个富裕的一个表现，就是他可以在任何一个时候，展示出任何的一个情景。
And all the Brahmas and all the Shivas were very fortunate to be in front of Krishna, that they offered wonderful prayers.
那所有的这些 Brahma 还有这些 Shiva 们呢，他们能够来到主 Krishna 这个面前，都感觉到三生有幸。然后呢，他们就向都向这个主 Krishna 献上了祷文。
So Lord Krishna said, "I all wanted to see you all at once, therefore I called you here."
主 Krishna 他就说呢，我想同时见到你们大家，所以我就召唤了你们。
And he asked them a very simple question. Is everything going fine in your universe?
然后呢他就问了一个非常简单的问题说你们每一个人的宇宙中的所有都就是你们每一个人的这个宇宙中都一切顺利吧。
And all the Brahmas replied, by your mercy, we are victorious everywhere.
然后呢就是他们就回答说呢，即任您的仁慈呢，我们都一切胜利。
What are you trying to say?
I'm trying to find the Chinese word. 我们都这个就是胜利荣耀。
Because Krishna appears from one universe to another, and each time he appears in one universe, he brings peace and harmony.
Krishna, 他是从一个宇宙来到另外一个宇宙，然后他每到一个宇宙呢，他就带来的都是给这个宇宙的和平和谐。
So each Brahma felt very fortunate that Krishna had called upon him personally.
然后每一个 Brahmana 都感到就是主 Krishna 能把亲自的来召唤他们，他们都感到非常的幸运。
So he told them, now you can go back to your own universe. Thank you very much for coming.
然后主 Krishna 呢就跟他们说、啊、非常的感谢你们都来到我的跟前，现在呢你们都可以达到回府了，你们都可以回到你们自己的宇宙中了。
And the small Brahma who had come to see Krishna originally said,Whatever I formerly decided about my knowledge, I have just now personally verified.
嗯，然后呢，这个主 Brahma 呢，就是这个最小的这个来见主 Krishna 的这个 Brahma 呢，他就是说呢，之前我的一些这个概念，关于我的这个理解呢，现在都得到了纠正。嗯、
Yes.And then Brahma gives this very wonderful verse.
然后呢，主 Brahma 呢，他就送出了一段非常美妙的诗文。
Jananta eva janantu kim bahukya te me prabhu manaso vapuso vacho vai bhavam tava gochara. There are people who say, I know everything about Krishna. Let them think in that way.As far as I am concerned, I do not wish to speak very much about this matter. Oh my Lord, let me say this much. As far as your opulences are concerned, they are all beyond the reach of my mind, body, and words.
那就 Brahma 就是说呢，有的人会说对于 Krishna 我无所不知，就让他们这样想吧。至于我，我不想多说，我只关于这一点呢，我只想说这么几句啊，主啊，就让我这么说吧。至于你的这个富裕，你的富裕是完全的超越我的心意、躯体和言语。
So this is also spoken by Lord Brahma.
所以说呢，这个也是主 Brahma 他所说的一段话。
And Krishna told him, he says, actually, your universe is the smallest.
然后 Krishna 就对他说呢，其实你所在的这个宇宙是最小的。
And he explained to him how there are literally millions of universes, and each one has a different size, and therefore a different Brahma.
然后呢，他接下来就是描述呢，所以说其实是有这个千千万万这个宇宙，然后这些宇宙的这些大小都不一样，然后每一个宇宙当中呢。都有这个相应的一个主神 Brahma， 他们都是不一样的。
Okay, so after this, Lord Chaitanya will begin to speak about the sweetness of Krishna.
然后讲完了这一切之后，主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢就要开始去描述 Krishna 的甜蜜了。
And we will discuss this next week.
这下一周的时候我们再谈。
Hare Krishna.What are you looking for? Yeah, three questions.
那现在呢，就是说，让我们来看看大家的这个问题。
Questions.
第一个问题来自于 Sumuki Radha Hare Krishna， 感恩阿布和马太吉的甜美讲课。请问，既然奉爱服务。无法通过虔诚的活动获得，这里为什么说人们不理解那些牧牛童不知道积累了多少的虔诚活动才能得以和 Krishna 在一起呢？Hare Krishna, thank you very much for your sweet class. My question is, if we say that the devotional service cannot be attained by pious activities, why in your class you mentioned that people don't understand about those personalities like the coward boys who accumulated many pious activities in order to play with Krishna?
Good question.
您的这个问题很好。
But we have to understand what pious and pious means.
我们得明白在这里说的虔诚是什么，还有我们平常说的虔诚是什么。
There is an understanding of piety which is material piety, and there is spiritual piety.
这个虔诚活动呢，分成物质的和灵性的两个范畴。
Material piety is to do good things in the material world.
这个物质的虔诚活动其实就是所说的在这个物质世界里面的善行。
And the first act of piety is to follow the Varnashram system.
那么就是这个我们所说的这个最重要的一个物质的虔诚活动呢，就是指的那些去遵循Varnashram, 也就是四社会阶层、四灵性进阶的这个体系的人。
In other words, to perform one's duty as a Shudra, Vaishya, Kshatriya, and Brahmana.
就是说呢，那些素位而行的人啊，就是根据自己的这个身份啊，是 Shudra 还是 Vaishya 还是 Kshatriya 还是 Brahma, 根据这个
Brahmana
啊，就是婆罗门，就根据自己的这个职责来尽心尽责的那些人。
And to perform one's duty as a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas.
那么还有呢，就是按照自己是遵守身 brahmachari, 还是居士 grihastha, 还有 vanaprastha, 行脚僧，还是 sannyasi, 托钵僧来行使职责。
Another act of piety is to follow the laws of material nature.
还有一个就是虔诚活动，就是表现在遵循着物质的法则来生活。
And then all the activities which are under the mode of goodness.
然后所有的这些活动呢，都是在这个于 they are all in the mode of ignorance.
Goodness.
Goodness. 所有的这些活动呢，都是在这个善良形态之中。
Such as giving in charity.
比如说呢，去布施。
Or digging wells, planting trees.
比如说挖井啊，种树啊，等等。
Distributing food to the poor.
然后呢，就是要布施给食物给穷人。
Or developing saintly qualities.
或者说培养一些神圣的品格。
Such as honesty, cleanliness, austerity.
比如说像诚实啊，洁净啊，然后仁慈、苦行等等。
So all these are considered to be material piety.
那么刚才我们所说的这些呢，就是在这个物质虔诚的这个范畴里。
And if one follows these principles of piety for millions of lifetimes, one may somehow or other come in contact with Krishna consciousness.
那如果一个人呢，他能够从事几百万世、上千万世的这些虔诚活动的话，可能到某一世他们会有机会能够和 Krishna 在一起。
But it's not guaranteed.
但是还是不能那个保证。
The pious activities which are mentioned in the verse that I quoted, which is Krita Punya Punja. Punya is piety. The word Punya is piety.
Punya 就是虔诚，在这个梵文词里面呢，就被称为 Punya。
And Krita is activity. Krita Punya means pious activity.
就是 Krita Punya, 这个是梵文，指的是这个虔诚活动。
So, Prabhupada explained that this kind of pious activities actually is devotional service.
那么释迦帕帕呢，他就指出说，在这里想讲到的这个虔诚活动，指的就是奉献服务了。
Just like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yesham tvantakatam papam genavam punya karmanam tedvandva mohaniyam muktam bhajantimam dridavrataha. Those who have acted piously in previous life and in this life.
在那个布达班格里那个世界里面，就是说今生前是行事虔诚的人。
And who are free from sinful activity.
一些摆脱了罪业的人。
Who have full knowledge of me.
那些完全了解我的人。
They worship me with determination.
他们会坚定地为我从事奉献服务。
So Prabhupada explains that Krishna is referring here as pious activities means in previous life and in this life, one already has engaged in devotional service. These are pious activities.
那么在这里呢，释迦帕帕解释说，就在要旨中说，他说在这里主要讲的就是说前生今世啊，前世今世，就是说这些人出于某种 原因已经从事了一定的奉献服务，那么这个奉献服务呢，就是在这里所说的虔诚活动。
So some devotees, they need to perform these kind of devotional activities for a long, long time before they can qualify to be with Krishna face to face.
那很多的有一些奉献者呢，他们就是积累了很多很多这样的这些虔诚活动，就是这些奉献服务做了很久很久，所以他们才有机会跟 Krishna 面对面的在一起。
Or it can just be in one lifetime.
有可能是很多生生世世这样做，也有可能就是一世之间，就是在这一生中就有机会了。
So it all depends when you can translate this pious credit as devotional credit.
所以说你可以把这个虔诚的这个功业可以把它解释成为是奉献服务。
So when we chant Hare Krishna, when we take prasadam, when we read scriptures, when we associate with devotees, when we do service, this is pious credit.
就比如说我们念诵主的圣名，我们跟奉献者联谊，我们荣耀这个 prasadam, 然后崇拜神像等等。所有的这些呢，就是说你可以把它称为是奉爱的功德，就是奉献服务的功德。
And this is very different than what we call as pious credit in Buddhism.
这个和佛教里面所讲的福业功德是概念是不一样的。
I don't want to get into the technicalities of what pious credit in Buddhism is, but it's different from the devotional service.
那对佛教里面所讲的这个功德，就是是什么含义的话呢？就是有很多细节了，我就不想一一的再去解释了。但是总而言之，他们佛教里面的这个虔诚活动的这个概念，跟我们所讲的奉献服务的这个虔诚活动的概念是不一样的。
So when Krishna appears in every universe to perform his Vrindavan pastimes,
当 Krishna 他来到了不同的这些宇宙去展示他的 Vrindavan 逍遥时光的时候
，or his Dwarka pastime, or his Mathura pastimes,
或者是去展示 Dwarka 的逍遥时光 ，Mathura 的这个逍遥时光
，different devotees qualified to be with him based on their devotional credit.
那么就是到底是哪一些奉献者有机会能够加入到他的这个逍遥时光和他面对面的在一起呢？这是取决于他们每一个人的这个奉爱服务所累积的功业。
And from there, they return to the spiritual world.
然后呢，他们从那里呢，就到了这个灵性世界了。
So many great sages have prayed the way Brahma is praying, that many people talk about worshipping the scriptures, worshipping different demigods, but all I'm interested in worshipping this little boy who is surrounded by the coward boys in Vrindavan.
有很多的这些圣人也和主 Brahma 呢，就是献上了相似的这个祷文。然后呢，就是说我就让就是很多人呢以为他们可以通过这个经典啊什么的能够对于奎师呢对您有所了解，但是呢他们这样如此去崇拜，但是至于我呢，我只是想见到在这个 Vrindavan 的和牧牛童们在一起的奎师呢。
There is also a nice verse where Shukadev Goswami is wondering,What kind of pious activities did Vasudev and Devaki perform to have Krishna as their son?
然后在这个博雅瓦坛里面 ，Shukadeva Goswami 也提出过这样的一个问题：这个 Devaki 和 Vasudev 他们到底从事了什么样的虔诚活动，使得 Krishna 做了他们的儿子
？So this is what I mean by pious credit is devotional credit.
所以呢，这个就是说我们所指的这个虔诚活动，这个虔诚活动指的就是奉爱的活动。
Okay, next question.
就是加尔 Krishna 梁谢奎顶拜喀布的莲花族不同圣地，他们之间有何区别 ？What's the difference between different holy dhams?
What's the difference between different holy dhams? There is different pastime, different relationships, and different mood.
这个因为每一个圣地它的逍遥时光，还有这个跟 Krishna 之间的关系和主的这种关系，还有这个逍遥时光关系以及那里的这个氛围心态是不一样的。
Krishna is the same everywhere, but based on the reciprocation with his pure devotees, he expresses different moods, different pastimes, and different relationships.
就是 Krishna 他是其实是无所不在的，但是他根据在不同的地方奉献者和他之间的这种交流的不同，交流方式的这种不同，所以他就展示出相应的他的活动，还有他的心态和这种关系，所以每一个圣地是不一样，圣地和圣地之间就不一样。
Okay.
Sumuki Radha Dasi 询问，请问 Papu Guru Sadhu Shastra 也被称为三位一体，如何理解呢？圣人和 Guru 的区别又是什么呢？When you mentioned about these three, Guru Sadhu Shastra is also a group of three. How
yes.
to understand and what's the difference between the Sadhu and Guru?
Oh, someone asked that question the other day.
这个问题之前好像有人询问过。
The group of three of Sadhu, Guru and Shastra. Sadhus, they will confirm what the Shastra says.
这个 Sadhu 呢，他是会确认这个 Shastra， 也就是经典里面的描述。
Guru will confirm what Krishna says.
Guru 呢，他确认 Krishna 的话。
And what Krishna says can also be Shastra.
那 Krishna 所说的话呢，也有可能就是经典 Shastra。
So we explained last week there are two kinds of Shastra, Smriti and Shruti. Shruti is what Krishna says.Smriti is what the devotees say.
那么就是上周呢，我们就是讲到了 Shruti 和 Smriti， 就是神训经和圣传经。那么这个 Shruti 呢，就是说是 Krishna 说的话，而 Smriti 是奉献者所描述的有关 Krishna。
So the
奉献者说的话。
Guru here has the position of authority.
那么 Guru 在这里呢，他是担当着这个权威的地位。
The sadhus are.The united realization and opinions.
那么在 Sadhu 呢，就是说，他们代表的是一群人的一致的观点和觉悟。
So what the Shastra says, the Guru will confirm.
所以说呢，就是经典 Shastra 里面所讲的这个内容呢，由这个 Guru 来确证。
And what the guru says is confirmed by the sadhus.
而 guru 所讲的话呢，由这些 sadhu 们来确证。Okay. Jambavati Mataji 询问说，请问 guru， 请问 Papu， 超然主义者有很多，神秘主义者都包括哪些人呢？You mentioned that there are many transcendentalists. Then what about the mystics, what are the people, what kind of people are considered as mystics?
Mystics are people who have extraordinary powers.
就神秘主义者一般来说呢，就是说都具有这个玄秘的功能，或者叫做神通吧。
Can be physical power, mental power.
可以是体力上。然后心力上面，就是他的这个身体上，或者说他的这个精神上面，或者是他的他有这种玄秘的功能。
But mystic does not mean devotional service.
但是在这里所说的这个玄秘呢，指的并不是奉爱服务。
It can be used in Krishna consciousness.
可以把这些玄秘的功能用到。服务之中。
But it can also be used for material goals.
但是有一些人也会把这些神通用来达到这个物质的世俗的目的。
And again, mystics means things which are manifested, which is beyond our comprehension of the mind and senses.
那这个玄秘呢，往往也指的就是说我们的感官，还有我们的这个头脑无法理解、无法企及的这些事物。
Things which are not ordinary are mystics.
就是说呢，是那些非凡的神秘的这些事物。
So there are mystic yogis, for example.
所以举例来说呢，有这个神秘瑜伽士，或者说是玄秘瑜伽士。
They have specific powers to achieve different things.
然后呢，他们都有特别的这个神通，可以做一些不可思议的事。
Which the ordinary living beings cannot achieve.
这是一些这个普通常人做不到的。
But it doesn't mean that what they achieve is actually devotional or spiritual. It can be completely material.
但是他们的这个成就有可能完全就是世俗意义上的，跟这个灵性和奉献服务，都是没有。
Have mystic powers.
比如说 Hiranya Kasipu, 他是一个恶魔，他就有这个神秘力量。
But he didn't use it in Krishna's service.
但是他并没有把他的这个神通用到了。对 Krishna 的服务中。
And Ravana, he also had mystic powers.
Ravana, 那另外一个恶魔，他也是只是他也有这个玄秘力量。
But he didn't use it in the service of Ram.
他也没有用这个神通来这个服务主 Ram.
Okay.
加 Krishna 良谢，我继续问一个问题啊，主 Vishnu 的化身在回灵性世界时，都需要变成四臂的人形吗？可以举例具体描述吗？在回灵性世界时 ，incarnations of Lord Vishnu, when they go back to the spiritual world, do they have to manifest the four armed forms? Can you give some examples or some details?
The incarnations of Lord Vishnu. Can you repeat that question, please?
Well, when the incarnations of Lord Vishnu go back to the spiritual world, do they all have to manifest their four armed forms? Can you give some?
It depends on the incarnation.
这个取决于化身吧。
Some incarnations have two arms, some incarnations have four arms, some incarnations don't even have a human form.
就是 Krishna 的化身，有的是两臂的，有的是四臂的，有的是甚至是不是人形的。
But we have to understand that incarnation doesn't mean that they are born into a certain form, and where they come from, they have a different form. They are the way they are. They don't change.
就是不管是几臂的这个形体吧，他们就是永恒的，是这样的一个形体，并不是说。他们生出来的时候是这样的一个形体，之前是另外一种形体。
This is the very important teachings of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita that he does not change his body when he is manifested.
就是《博迦耶梵歌》里面 Krishna 的一个非常重要的给我们的这个教导，就是说他的这个形体都是永恒的。
For example, Lord Nrisimhadev, half man, half Lion.
比如说，主 Nrisimhadev 是这个半狮半人的形体。
This form is eternal. It has always existed.
这个主 Nrisimhadev 的这个化身的这个形象呢，是永恒的，永远是这个形体，是不变的。
It exists for a specific purpose.
它的这个出现是为了满足一个特定的目的。
And it remains that way.
而且它永远是以这样的一个形象出现的。
Okay, next question. There's lots of questions.
还有下一个问题是乐逍遥顶拜咕噜翻译你好，念加帕的时候妄念横生怎么办？家里还不方便大声念，脑海里的妄念会不会把人带入地狱？When I do japas, there are always many illusory ideas popping out from my mind. It's not very convenient for me to chant loudly at home. So will these ideas bring one into the hell?
There are different ways to chant japa.
就是念这个加帕，在念珠上的这个念诵有不同的方式。
For example, Haridastaku is to chant in three different ways.
比如说呢 ，Haridastaku 呢，他念诵的时候用三个方法。
He would chant softly.
他可以是非常轻柔的这个念诵。
He would chant loudly.
或者是大声的念诵。
And he would chant in his mind.
或者是默念，也就是不出声的念诵。
We don't recommend chanting japa in the mind.
那这种默念是我们不推荐的。
Because the mind is not reliable.
因为我们的心意呢，就是不可信。
We should not imitate Haridas Thakur.
我们不要去模仿这个 Haridas Thakur.
But at best, we can chant softly.
所以说我们就尽量的，就是说至少要就是轻轻的念诵。
Now, Japa is meant to be connected with Krishna through the sound of His holy name.
那么所谓这个 Japa 呢？意思就是说通过 Krishna 的这个圣名和 Krishna 连接。
It's not the time to think about all sorts of crazy things that is going on in our life.
所以呢在这个时候呢 Japa 的这个时间不是让你来去联想你这一生当中所做的各种各样的乱七八糟的事情，或者说就像你这里说的去想各种各样的妄念的。
We don't go to hell if we don't have good thoughts in the mind.
如果我们没有正念，没有非常好的这个心念的话，在念诵的时候，不见得我们就会去地狱。
As a matter of fact, there's no such a thing as hell for the devotees.
其实对于奉献者来说呢，就没有地狱这个概念。
But we have to understand that chanting the holy name of Krishna is the only austerity that we have to perform to make spiritual progress.
这是我们要知道呢，就是说如果我们要在 Krishna 知觉当中求得进步的话，我们的这个念诵，这个是念诵主的这个圣名呢，其实是唯一要做的一件事情，最重要的一件事情。
It's not a great austerity.
就是唯一做的这个苦行。那这个实际上这个苦行也不是非常的难。
So we have to make an effort to discipline the mind.
所以说呢，我们无论如何都要花一些功夫来约束自己的心意。
It's a question of practice.
其实呢，这个也是一种习练。
We have to learn to practice to discipline the mind by not listening to the mind.
也就是说呢，你要学会如何去约束你的这个心意，不要去聆听你的心意当中所发出的各种各样的声音，各种各样的念头。
And chanting japa is the time when we learn not to listen to the mind, but to hear the sound of the holy name.
那么念诵 japa 的这个过程，其实就是你一个学习的过程，你学会了怎么去聆听这个圣名本身，而不是说去聆听你的心意。
So you have to practice to not listen to the mind, but to hear the words of Krishna's holy name.
所以说呢，你就要去这样的去练习，训练自己不要去聆听心意，就是说，就像你这里说的各种妄念，去聆听他的这个声音，而是说去清晰的去聆听 Krishna 圣名中的每一个音节。
You have to practice to discipline the mind.
所以说呢，你必须要学会去训练和约束自己的心意。
One word at a time.
而且就是每一次你就是专注的去聆听一个词语。
Hare.
Hare.
Krishna.
Krishna.
Rama.
Rama.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama.Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Try to chant each word without thinking of anything but just to hear.
你要学会就是完全全神贯注于你念圣名当中的每一个词语，只是念，只是聆听，而心无旁骛。
until you get to a point where you only listen to the mantra and you don't think of anything else.
然后你要训练自己到达这样的一个境界，这个你的头脑中只有这个圣灵的声音在回响，而没有任何其他的一切。
Okay.
Sumukhi Radha Dasi, 佛教徒的虔诚活动是属于物质范畴还是灵性的范畴呢？如何去鉴别这些虔诚活动可以使他们获得为主 Krishna 做奉爱服务的机会吗？可以达到的最高的境界是去到哪里呢？What about the pious activities of the Buddhists? Are they in the category of material or the spiritual? How to discriminate? Will all these pious activities lead them to more opportunities for serving Lord Krishna? What are the highest platform can they attain?
I knew she would ask that question.
这个问题我好像知道你会问的。
Okay, everything is based on your motivation when you perform a pious activity.
所以这个其实呢，无论你做什么，完全取决于你在做这个虔诚的活动时候的动机或者说意图。
If your motivation is self-motivated.Progress.
如果说你做这个活动的时候呢，你的这个出发点就是自己，你自己个人的这个受益的话，那么你的这些虔诚活动就没有办法把你带到一个灵性的结果。
So, according to the Buddhist teachings, when a Buddhist monk engages the lay people in pious activities, the Buddhist monk gets pious credit.And the people engaged also get pious credit.
根据这个佛教的这个教义的话，如果是一个佛僧哈，一个僧人，佛僧僧侣，他呢就是说让那些就是不是出家的那些人，那些居士去从事这个一些虔诚活动的话，他呢就自己本人也可以获得一些功德。那么那些没有出家的这些居士，他们通过去做这些虔诚活动，他们也就获得了这个福业。
So there is a kind of self-motivated intention.
所以在这里呢，就是这个动机实际上是有一些这个自我的。
So the Buddhist monk is thinking, if I engage many people, I will get lots of pious credit. And if the people think, if I do service for the monk,I will get pious credit, so it's self-motivated.
所以说不管是在这个僧侣这一方，还是在居士们这一方呢，其实在做这些虔诚活动的时候，主要还是从自己个人出发的，就觉得如果我去做了这些虔诚活动的话，我就会有这个善业功德，所以这个归根结底呢，它还是有这个比较的这个自私的这个愿望。
Now you can say the devotees are doing exactly the same.
那你可能会说，那奉献者不也是吗？奉献者在做奉献服务的时候，也可能就是这样的一种心理。
But actually, it's not the same because the devotees engaging others in devotional service, it's not for their own personal benefit. It's to please Krishna.
但是这个是不一样的。如果是奉献者，想方设法让别的人去从事奉献服务的话，其实他心里想的并不是说自己能够受益，而是想到的是就是对方的这些奉献服务是可以让 Krishna 高兴，可以取悦 Krishna 的。
And for people to render service to a sadhu, it's not for their own benefit, it's because they know it pleases Krishna.
而对于那些去服务于萨度圣人的人而言，他们也知道去做这些服务的时候，并不是自己个人就得到了什么益处的，而事实上是服务 Krishna 去取悦 Krishna。
Whereas in Buddhism, the accumulation of pious credit is to come to the stage where there are no more material desires, so there would be no more material suffering.
那对于这些佛教徒来说，他们的修行的方式是通过这些善业、这些虔诚活动， 然后呢，达到这些功德积累到一定的时候呢，他们的心中就没有这个物质的欲望了。然后呢，去除了这个物质欲望之后呢，他们也就免除了这个世俗物质的这种痛苦。所以就是所谓的离苦得乐。
So for a devotee, it's different because the devotee knows that by engaging in Krishna's service.Automatically, there are no material desires.
那奉献者呢，就是不一样。他们知道，只要自己不断的为 Krishna 做奉献服务，最终的话就会自然的清除到物质的欲望。
And also, for devotee, there is no question of material suffering because as long as the devotee is engaged in devotional service, he is not concerned with suffer or pleasure.
那就是对于奉献者来说，其实他并不关心。我是否还有这个物质的这个痛苦？因为其实对于奉献者，只要是他在不断的从事奉献服务的话，是苦乐如一的。What is their highest attainment? Where can they reach? What is the highest platform?
The highest platform in Buddhism is to merge.
这个佛教徒呢，他是一种。融入
is to disappear,
就是这种空性空无遁入这个空无
because there is no concept of the soul in Buddhism.
因为在佛教里面是不讲灵魂的
so you're not going anywhere, you just disappear.
所以说呢，既然人是不讲灵魂的话，也不说这个灵魂会具体到什么地方，然后呢，所以说呢，就是遁入这种空无。进入空性是这个佛教里面的他们认为的一个最高境界。
But accepting that there is a soul or no soul, there is no prerogative. There is a soul. This is part of life, whether you like it or not.
所以说，但是呢，就是说，究竟有没有灵魂，这个实际上是不需要专门去证明的。就是不管你，就是喜欢这个概念还是不喜欢这个概念，这个灵魂终归是存在的，这个是无可辩驳的。
So if you attain nirvana, which means that you disappear into nothingness, well, you're going to have to be born again.
那么就是对佛教徒来说，他们说的最高境界也就是遁入空无，也就是涅槃了。那么就是在这个时候呢，实际上还不彻底，他们到一定的时候还是得再次的投生的。Olivia, 顶拜帕布感恩妈太极。甜美的翻译，您刚说到了灵性的布施，请问我们应该如何向新人适当的传递布施的概念？感恩您的仁慈 ，Hare Krishna。Thank you very much for your wonderful class. You just mentioned about the spiritual charity. How can we deliver
spiritual charity?
Yeah, spiritual charity. What's the best way to deliver the concept?Of charity to new people. What's the proper way to deliver that concept? Thank you very much for your mercy.
There are always three ways to give spiritual charity to others.
把这个灵性的布施给予他人呢，始终就是有三个方式。
Whether we use one, two, or three of them together, it doesn't matter. Each one is as powerful as the other.
你可以采用其中的一种、两种，或者全部采用，也就是说三种，这个是没有关系的，因为每一种布施的这个方式，这个其力量都是一样的，灵性的能量是相同的。
So spiritual charity means you can give Krishna prasadam.
一种这个灵性的布施，就是说给予他们prasadam.
This is actually the most powerful way to.Reach out to every single person.
实际上呢，去这个布施这个菩萨呢，这是对所有的人而言都是一种非常有效、有力量的方式。
Everyone loves to eat.
大家都喜欢吃。
If you can give prasadam to people, this is very powerful spiritual charity.
所以说，如果你能够把这个菩萨呢给予他们的话，那么这就是一种非常有力量的灵性的布施方式。
People who are more open, you can give the holy name.
那对于那些思想更加开放一些的人呢， 你就可以给他们圣灵。
And if people are more interested, you can give knowledge.
如果这些人他们有进一步浓厚的兴趣的话，你再把这个灵性的知识给予他们。
That's why Srila Prabhupada says Krishna consciousness is the highest welfare activity.
所以呢 ，Srila Prabhupada 他称这个 Krishna 知觉是最高等的，就是福祉。
Whether you give Krishna prasadam, you give Krishna's holy name, or you give knowledge of Krishna, these three are very powerful spiritual charity. You just have to judge which one is the most suitable.
那就是说，你就是一个是 prasadam 灵性灵粮的这个布施，还有这个圣灵的布施，还有。灵性的 Krishna 知觉哲学的知识的这个布施，这三者都是非常的有力量的。那么你只需要去判断一下，对于对方而言，到底哪一种方式是最有效的，最合适的就好了。
Next.
下一个问题来自于 Ishwar。Devidasi 顶拜老师听年长的奉献者说过，奉爱服务和奉献服务是不一样的。他有时在评论室的时候会说，他这是奉献服务而不是奉爱服务，所以我一直在想怎么样才能区别自己是奉爱还是奉献呢？这种奉爱与奉献的心态在奉爱服务中对灵性进步是不是有一定的作用呢？感恩老师。
Drink.
I heard from some senior devotees that the devotion with the service and the devotion with love and the devotional service are different. For example, sometimes when he comments on some things, some happenings, he would say what that devotee does.Is just a devotional service, not devotional service in love. Therefore, I always try to make to discriminate on myself, and I want to know what is actually devotional service, devotion with love or devotion itself. So this kind of a mood, whether it is the devotion with love or the devotion itself, do they have different effects in our progress of Krishna consciousness or the spiritual progress? Thank you very much. This is actually related to a translation. Because whether it's devotional service with love, or it's called 奉爱服务 or devotional service or 奉献服务 all with other translation of the Sanskrit word bhakti. 其实这个奉爱服务和奉献服务这个就是其实这个也有可能是跟这个翻译有关，因为这两个字有的时候对应的都是 bhakti 这个词语，那么有的就是习惯于说是奉爱，有的说是奉献。不过在这里既然有爱这个字的这个不同的话，那么我就翻译给帕布说是有用爱的奉献服务和仅仅是奉献服务。Okay. One is just devotional service, the other is devotional service with love.
No. Devotion means love. Bhakti means love. There is no such a thing as devotion with love.If there is no love in devotion, it's not devotion. If there is no love in bhakti, it's not bhakti. End of the story.
其实我们要澄清的一个概念就是说奉献本身这个奉献这两个词其实就是有爱的含义在里面的。如果就不存在着一种没有爱的奉献，如果说没有爱它就不是奉献，因为我这个词语是从 bhakti 梵文这个词来的，所谓 bhakti 就有这个爱在里面，如果是没有爱的 bhakti 那也不称为是 bhakti 了。Maybe some people think I do devotional service, but my heart is not there. I do it out of responsibility. 那我补充了一句，就是说可能我们会觉得我以某个人在做奉献服务，那他可能心是没有道的，心里是没有爱的，但是他可能出于责任去做这个服务，这个叫奉献服务，中文里面的比较精微的一部分。
Bhakti with material desires, which is called Kama Mishra Bhakti, Jnana Mishra Bhakti, Yoga Mishra Bhakti,
掺杂的这个物质动机的这个 Bhakti 啊，就是Kama Mishra Bhakti 啊，这个比如说包括这种业报，有这种业报的这个心理，功利性的这种心理掺杂在里面，还有 Jnana Mishra Bhakti 就是掺杂着哲学思辨的 Bhakti 奉献服务，
so,
或者是 Yoga Mishra Bhakti 掺杂着这个瑜伽式的那种神秘主义。
Mishra means mixed、
Mishra 这个词语就是混杂混合的意思。
So, unless we get to the level of pure bhakti, we will always have some motives.
那除非我们已经达到了一个纯粹的 bhakti, 否则的话在这之前呢总是掺杂着一些动机。
Yes?
Yeah, yes. You finished?
That's all.
Okay. 下一个问题 Sumuki Radha.但是其实人 Guru 是完美的灵魂，是没有谬误的。那么萨度是完美的灵魂吗？ So we say that the Guru or the spiritual master are perfect souls, which means they are infallible or free from mistakes. What about the sadhus? Are they also perfect souls?
We have to understandthat there are different levels of gurus and different levels of sadhus.
我们要知道就是这个 guru 啊还有 sadhu 啊他们也是有不同的层面的不同的级别。
And there are different gurus who act on certain levels.
就是不同的这个 guru 他们是在自己的层面上面来行事。
This is explained in Upadeshamrita.
这个是在 Upadeshamrita 教会的甘露里面讲的。
They are neophyte gurus, they are mature gurus, and they are exalted gurus. Of course.
然后呢，就是说，在就是有这个初级的 guru, 成熟的 guru 和最崇高的 guru, 最高境界的 guru。
Not all the gurus are pure devotees of Krishna.
然后并不是所有的这个 guru 都是Krishna 纯粹的奉献者。
But we have to understand that the words of the guru are not the words of the guru, but the words of Krishna.
那我们要知道 guru 他口中说出的话并不是他创造出的这个话，他们重复的是 Krishna 的话。
So when a guru gives teachings, they are Krishna's teachings.Not his or her teachings.
所以说当 Guru 给予我们教导的时候，他所传递的是 Krishna 的教导，而不是他自己的教导。
The impact is based on the realization of the Guru.
但是他所讲的这个教导对于听者而言，究竟能够起到多大的影响力和冲击力，这个是取决于他的觉悟。
But Srila Prabhupada explained any devotee, not just gurus, any devotee, he said, if you speak Krishna's words, you are perfect.
但是 Srila Prabhupada 他说呢，就是不仅仅局限于 guru, 其实所有的奉献者，只要他重复的是 Krishna 的话的话，他已经是达到了完美的。
Because you are repeating Krishna's words, therefore you are perfect, because Krishna's words are perfect.
因为你是在重复的是 Krishna 的话，那么 Krishna 的话是完美的，因此呢，你也就是完美的。
And Krishna within the heart will understand the intention behind speaking his words.
那么因为 Krishna 他也是在每一个人的心中，所以他也完全的明白每一个去讲这个 Krishna 的话的人背后的动机和心理。
So in the community of devotees, some devotees take the position of gurus.
在一个奉献者的社团之中，某一些人他 担当的是 guru 的职责。
It's a service, it's a responsibility.
那这个叫做职责，也是一种服务。
On behalf of the guru parampara.
他们呢是代表这个 guru parampara， 就是师徒传系、师徒传承来行使他的服务的。
And all the acharyas and Srila Prabhupada explain that the best is to take full shelter of a pure devotee.
那所有的这些 acharya 们、历代的先师们以及 Srila Prabhupada 都说呢，最好的就是去脱离于纯粹的奉献者。
Now, when you can take shelter of a pure devotee who is living, a living pure devotee, then that's the best.
那如果说你能够脱避于一位在世的纯粹的灵性导师，纯粹的奉献者，脱避于他的话，那是最理想的。
But Jiva Goswami and Rupa Goswami explains that anyone who is engaged in Krishna's service by utilizing mind, body and senses,even if they are not pure, they are considered liberated.
但是无论是吉巴格斯瓦米还是卢帕格斯瓦米，他们都说到是只要一个人用他的躯体、心意和言语去做奉献服务的话，即便是他们还没有达到全人的完美，也被认为是解脱的。
It's only a question of time.
其实呢，只是一个时间的问题而已，是迟早的。
Did that answer the question? That was the question.
The sadhus are also the perfect souls.
If Prabhupada explains, listen carefully, as long as we follow, even if we are not pure, as long as we follow, that is perfection.
那 Prabhupada 说呢，只要是我们非常严格的去追随，即便是我们还没有达到完美，那也可以被认为就是完美的，因为你在非常认真的去追寻
and that's,
追随
and that's the meaning of the famous verse apichet sudaracharo bhajate mamananyabak sadureva samantavya. Krishna explains, if a devotee is always situated in devotional service, even if they have weakness of heart, even if they haveSome deviation, as long as they don't give up devotional service, they are always saintly and they are always situated.
所以呢，其实呢，他就是说，如果是一个人他总是坚持于奉献服务之中，哪怕是有着弱点，或者说他有所偏离，但是只要他一直在从事奉献服务的话，他就是稳处于一个。非常安全的一个状态，它是永不会毁灭的。下一个。
What happened?
This is the continuation of that question. 就是跟你的这个问题有关的，是不是杨盖莲说 ，Hare Krishna， 顶戴 Guru， 顶戴翻译 ，Sadhu 这个群体是证明 Guru 所说的是权威。Sadhu 包括 Guru 吗 ？You just mentioned the Sadhu， the Sadhus they can confirm what the Guru said is authoritative. Does the Sadhu also include Guru？
Yes。
对呀、啊。
Of course。
是的。So Guru is included in the category
yes,
of sadhu.
Of course, Guru is a sadhu.
因为 Guru 本身就是一个 sadhu， 其实的确是。
But there's always a majority of sadhus and a minority of gurus.
但是通常来说，就是 Guru 是少数的 ，sadhu 是大多数的。就是 Guru 的这个群体要小于 sadhu 的这个群体，而 Guru 当然也是属于一个 sadhu 一个圣人。下一个问题来自于25119328266YY， 你外公路请问怎么看待疫情是主的意志还是恶魔的作祟？我们需要为此做些什么来消灭病毒的活动吗？ My question is, how do we see this coronavirus? Is it based on the will of the Lord or it's the demons?The idea of the demons, what should we do? Do we need to do anything to destroy the epidemic, the virus. Do we have to do some activities to counteract the activities of the virus?
If you want to know the origin of this virus, you read chapter 17 of Bhagavad Gita.
那么就是说，如果你想知道啊这些病毒的来源、根本的来源是什么的话，你就去读一下《博伽梵歌》的第十七章。
In any case, virus is part of material disease.
就是这个病毒呢，实际上就是物质疾病的一种。
As long as we have a body, whether we have a virus or we have another disease, it's exactly the same.
Whether we have the physical virus or
any disease.
不管是什么疾病，还是身体的这个疾病，还是什么疾病呢？其实这个本质上是一样的。
For example, this morning I was reading that yesterday 700 people in France died from the coronavirus.
就比如说今天早上我看到那个新闻上面说
That's a lot of people.
这个一天700个人就很多了。
But what we don't hear about is that every single day there's 1,000 people dying from cancer.
但是呢，其实每一天可能都有1000个人以上死于癌症，但是这个消息我们就不知道了。
Cancer, virus, it's a disease. It's a disease of the material world. It's a disease of the material body.
所以说不管是这个病毒啊，还是这种疾病啊，本身归根结底都是疾病，是这个物质躯体伴随而来的疾病，物质世界的疾病。Now,
if you look at the animals.
那现在我们来看一下动物。Any
animals.
不管是哪一种动物。Or
even if you look at the plants.
或者说是植物吧，看一下植物。
When do you ever see them being sick? When do you ever see viruses? When do you ever see diseases among them?
Sometimes very rare. 就是说你什么时候看到一个植物或动物生病呢？这个是非常的少见的。
The difference is animals and plants follow the laws of nature. Humans do not.
主要的原因就是说，因为动物和植物是遵循着大自然的法则的，但是人却没有遵循这个自然的规律来生活。And
because they do not, they have to pay the price.
因为人违背了大自然的法则，所以说。 就得为此付出代价。As
a matter of fact, the scientists have made a research that every single epidemic that ever plagued the human race has always been directly related with mishandling animals.
其实科学家们已经做了这个大量的研究，几乎可以说每一种肆虐于这个人类的那种瘟疫啊，或者是这种病毒啊，都是。
Every time human beings exploit animals and exploit nature, every time there's an epidemic.
那每一次当人类大肆的去虐待动物，或者呢去虐待这个大自然的时候，就会有疫情爆发。So,
what is the solution?
那么这个解决的方式是什么呢？
Vegetarian.
一个就是素食。
Kindness.
然后呢，善待众生.
Respect.
尊重.
Compassion.
仁慈.
These are the qualities that can be expressed in order to counteract any virus.
那就是我们人应当要展示出这些品质，这些美德呢，就可以去消灭这个病毒.
To at least have a healthy life before we die.
就是至少我们在死亡之前，这一生还可以过得比较的健康平安。So
there are two ways to learn.
所以呢，在人的这个学习有两个方式。
One is with wisdom.
一种就是说用智慧。
去学习。
Which means you already know what to do and what not to do.
就是说你一开始就已经有了一种辨别力，知道什么该做，什么不该做。
And the other is to learn without wisdom.
然后呢，第二种就是说没有知慧，没有智慧，非理智、非理性的那种无知的一种学习方式。
Which is to learn the hard way.
那么这就是一种困难的学习方式。
And even some people learn the hard way, they still don't learn.
然后呢，有一些人呢，虽然他经历了这些困难，但是还是不能吸取教训。
That's called ignorance.
那么这个就叫做愚昧。
Even animals are smarter than some humans.
其实有一些人的这个智慧还比不上动物。
Animals can smell danger miles away.
动物呢，它好几英里之外就能够嗅到危险的味道。
Humans don't.
但是人类呢，却是麻木不仁的。
Because humans are blind with greed, anger, and lust.
因为呢，人类呢，它是充满着这个贪婪、嫉妒和色欲的。
Okay.
下一个问题来自于杨盖脸叶 ，Hari Krishna 顶拜 Guru 顶拜翻译。这个是刚才已经讲过的一个问题了。Olivia 继续问，感恩帕布耐心的讲解，那我们如何去鼓励他们去做一些灵性的布施呢？比如说现在 Michael 很多人需要帮助，感恩。Thank you very much for your patient explanation. So what's the best way to engage them or encourage them to do some spiritual charity? For example, now in Mayapur, a lot of people need help. For example, what's the best way to explain to them so that they can concept and be engaged?
A lot of people need help in Mayapur.
Because like the asking for donation, the Jayapakta Maharaj sent that announcement. We are encouraged to give some donation for them. Some people are in difficulty. What's the best way to explain to them so that they can accept this concept of charity? Because people...没关系，我就是跟帕布再进一步解释了一下这个问题。这个问题是，这个问题我重复了是吧 ？Olivia 的这个问题。
是的。
比如说现在麦，那你们听到了就好了 ，OK？ Can you please explain?
Yeah. So Mayapur is a community of different devotees.
在这个 Mayapur 的社团当中生活着各种各样的奉献者。
Some devotees live here permanently.
有一些是在这里的常住居民。
And some devotees live here part-time.
有些人是只是一年中某段时间生活在这里。
And many devotees depend on the activities of the Mayapur community to make a living.
因为很多人呢，他们在这里生活，他们是要这个仰赖于这个 Mayapur 的这个庙宇的这个活动来维生，他们维生的这个来源是来自于这些庙里的这些服务。
So they can maintain their family. comes from the thousands of visitors who come to Mayapur, but now there are no visitors, therefore there's no activity, therefore there's no income.
那么他们的这个生活的收入的一部分，很大一部分来源就是来自于这里的朝圣者。那现在呢，印度是在这个封城的这个过程当中，大家都是那个禁足在家里，所以呢，Mayapur现在也是没有任何一个朝圣者。整个是空的。
Not only that, but we are in a lockdown, means that no one can move.
那还有一个，我们现在都大家都在居家隔离禁足，所以说谁都不能随便出去随便动。
So many devotees are running out of cash.
所以呢，好多的这个奉献者他们就没有这个钱了。
Therefore, Japitaka Swami is asking if devotees can contribute.
那么所以 Japitaka Maharaj 呢，他就就是说向大家布施。
That's all.
Not only the devotees, but also the workers.
Well, the workers are part of the community. It's the same.
因为 Mayapur 还有很多的这个工作也是让当地人来参与做的，然后他们那些属于日薪的，就是每一天根据他们的工作的这个时间那么如果说在 Mayapur 没有这些活可干了，没有这些服务可做了，他们也就断了收入。很多人的这个生活是依赖于每天的这一点工作所带来的这个收入，那么没有工作21天，那他们就没有收入，家里面还有大大小小老老小小需要他来维持。所以说呢，很多人奉献者就是也不管是奉献者还是当地的工人，他们就陷入到困境中，所以玛雅普呢就是要给他们一些布施，包括普沙达啊这些。
对。
D-A-U-J-I
Dauji
Dauji Dasi 顶戴他不，请问我们回到 Krishna 身边要经过哪些程序吗？ What kind of procedure should we go through in order to go back to Krishna?
Procedure.
May he use the word procedure.
The easiest and to not offend the devotees.
回到主 Krishna 的身边的一个最容易的方式就是去纯粹的不掺杂任何物质的去纯粹的念诵这个圣名然后 and associate with devotees.
No. Don't offend.
就不要去那个冒犯奉献者这两个条件。
This is the only most powerful process is the pure chanting of the holy name without offenses.
所以最重要的就是说纯粹的念诵圣名，不带一丝一毫冒犯。
Okay, one more and then we finish.
这现在是最后的一个问题。杨盖莲顶拜咕噜，顶拜翻译，感恩咕噜的耐心讲解。有时动物群体也有大面积的瘟疫，请问动物的业报还是正常的进化呢？So the question is, sometimes we see among animals, we also see a lot of epidemic. So is this because of their karma or it's a normal evolution?
That's a good question.
您的这个问题很不错。
I'm not knowledgeable enough to answer that question.
The animals don't have karma.
They don't have karma.
动物是没有业报的。
Possibly part of the evolution.
所以这个应该过程。
I will do some research and let you know next time.
我先做一些调查，下星期的时候我再给你一个比较完整的回答。
I think it's evolution.
这个是一个进化。
Yeah. Okay. So we'll stop here.
好，我们今天的讲课就到这里。
Thank you very much, Sumukhi Radha Mataji.
感谢 Sumukhi Radha Mataji.
Thank you, Krishna Premi, for your excellent translation.
感谢 Krishna Premi Mataji 的翻译。
Excellent.Thank you to all the devotees for listening patiently and for your very nice questions.
感谢大家耐心的聆听以及大家提出的好问题。
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai, Srila Sanatan Goswami Ki Jai, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Sri Kashadesh Yatra Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bo.
来昆台之音服务源于聆听，亲爱的奉献者，大家今天的这个讲课呢就到中篇逍遥的第21章，属虚 Krishna 的富裕和甜蜜。
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.